I invite your attention to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Leviticus, chapter 23. These messages have been interesting for me in that I've never preached a series from the book of Leviticus. And so it's kind of neat to me, but it's certainly exciting as we examine the feast of the Lord. And today we'll be looking at Leviticus, chapter 23 and verse 23 as we examine the feast of the trumpets. Will you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23, the Feast of Trumpets. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray for your Holy Spirit to open your word to us. Teach us, Lord, that we may know you, that we may grow in you, and that we may share your goodness with others. Lord, I pray that you bless in this message, that it be your message, not mine, and that you'll speak to the hearts, Lord, of everyone present. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thus far as we've studied these feasts, we've went through the spring feast. Now in the spring feast, there are four, right? Help me remember. Number one. That's not right. Number one, Passover. Number two, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Number three, Feast of First Fruits. Number four, Feast of Pentecost. Need to go back and rewatch the messages online, okay, because you missed. But we're now, and I remind you, all those feasts, the four feasts, those occurred during the spring months of the year. Right there close together, as a matter of fact. Now, we're in the summer months. In the summer months, there are no feasts. The next and final three feasts are in the fall of the year. But I want you to understand where we are in history as it relates to us right now. You know that the spring feasts were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Right now, we're in the summer months. And the way we're going to understand a little better is by understanding a Jewish wedding. When a man and a woman, bride and groom, were to be married, the groom would go to his father's house and prepare a place for his new bride. Before the groom would be able to come and get his bride, listen, in that day, it wasn't that we'll live on love, right? It was the groom was expected to provide for his new bride. So he'd go back to his father's home and he would prepare a place for he and his new bride. And that new place had to be approved by his father. Now when that place was finished being prepared and his father approved it, that groom would go back to the bride's home, take his bride, and come in a wedding parade back to the new place that he had made just for her. Does it remind you of anything? I want to call the book of John chapter 14, verse 1 to your attention. I'll read it to you real quickly. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to," what? "Prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will," what? "Come again to receive you to myself." What are we? Are we not the bride of Christ? Listen, right now in the summer months, Jesus is in his Father's house preparing a place for you and me. And beloved, the day is coming, and I believe soon is, when Jesus will step out on that cloud and we'll hear the trumpet call and we will go to meet Jesus in the air and we'll be ushered into that eternal home that he has prepared and been approved by God the Father. You see, that's what the memorial blowing of the trumpets is about. We're told in the text, verse 23, we're told that it is a memorial. So we're supposed to, and memorial means very simply to remember. Now, I've got a mind like a steel trap. How about you? I put things in. Problem is opening up to get it out, right? This is one of those God says, I want you to remember. I want you to remember. This is a memorial blowing of the trumpets. But in the text that we read, you back up and you say, remember what? You see, everywhere else in the other feasts, God said, this is what you're remembering. And in this feast, He just said, it's a memorial blowing of the trumpets. I want you to remember to blow the trumpets. Well, this isn't just blow the trumpets for a good time. God does everything for a reason. So there's something we're supposed to remember during the Feast of Trumpets. The other thing we're supposed to remember is remember the wind. It was to be on the first day of the seventh month, the day of Tishri in the Jewish calendar. But actually, it was determined by the sighting of the new moon. You know, we've got it easy. We've got January, February, March, April, May, you know, and each day, it's a count-off. But this was observed. This Feast of the Trumpets was not just the first day of Tishri. It was to be observed at the first sighting of the new moon. And because it could only be observed at the sighting of the new moon, somebody had to witness, there's the new moon. And then they had to confirm that with the priest. The priest had to witness, yes, there's the new moon, so we could celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. And for that reason, since they didn't know exactly when that new moon would appear, for that reason, there were always 2 days allotted for this Feast of Trumpets. And a Jewish idiom developed from that 2 days. And that Jewish idiom is, no man knows the day or the hour of the Feast of Trumpets. Does that sound familiar? Do you remember Jesus, as He's speaking to His disciples in Matthew chapter 24? He said this, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When the branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now get this. But of the day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You know, Jesus was very deliberate in what He said. He knew exactly what He was talking about. And if you were a Jew and you heard Jesus make this statement, you would immediately, your mind would go to the Feast of the Trumpets because it was so common. We don't know exactly when this is going to occur, but we just know when the new moon appears, we're going to observe the Feast of the Trumpets. But nobody knew exactly when. If you haven't guessed by now, I believe that the Feast of Trumpets is a symbol of the return of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I think that it points, everything about it points to the second coming of Jesus when He raptures His church from off this earth. And beloved, we may not know the day nor the hour, but I do know this. We can tell by the fig tree. We can look at the signs around us and we can know that the time is at hand. I want to go a little farther and I want you to understand the meaning of trumpets in the Bible. Okay? And we're building the case for what the Feast of Trumpets represent. The meaning of the trumpets, they had basically four meanings. And you can read about this in Numbers chapter 10, but to save time, I'm not going to read that this morning. You can read that this afternoon. If you read that this afternoon, would you say amen? I knew I'd get you on that one. If I said read Luke 21, you'd say, okay, nobody reads the book of Numbers, right? But in the book of Numbers chapter 10, it talks about blowing trumpets and what they meant. The first reason they would blow a trumpet was to assemble the congregation. Yeah? It meant when they heard the trumpet make this distinct sound, it means everybody's supposed to come together. God was calling a meeting. Moses was calling a meeting among the children of Israel. Reminds me of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, does it not? Where the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and read this with me, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Sound familiar? Yeah. Isn't that what in the Old Testament the reason for trumpets was? It was to call people together one day when that trumpet sounds from God. There's going to be a mighty calling together, a reunion to go meet Jesus in the air. That's the first reason for trumpet. Second reason for trumpet was for them to abandon the camp. As they were camping in the wilderness, they depended on the sound of trumpets. When they'd hear the trumpet blow a certain way, they would stop and they would make camp. When they'd hear a trumpet sound again in a certain way, it meant they were to pick up and start traveling to abandon the camp. Listen. Did you know this is not your home if you're a child of God? Kind of like the children of Israel, we're pilgrims passing through. And you know what we're waiting on? We're waiting to hear that trumpet. It's going to be as Revelation chapter 5 when John heard that voice from heaven as the voice of a trumpet that said, come up here. If you're a child of God, when this occurs, when the rapture occurs, you're going to hear that. Come up here, and beloved, you can take it to the bank. You're not going to waste time, and you're not going to tell Jesus, hold on, I've got one more thing to do. We'll be gone, just like that in a moment of twinkling eye. Third thing, trumpets were for, was appointed feast. Now, appointed feast, of course, and I told you this in previous messages, but the word feast is moed or moedim. It means to have an appointment with God. When they were meeting with God, the trumpet sounded to indicate that meeting with God. Is that not what happens in the rapture? When we leave this world, who are we going to meet? Oh, come on, stay with me now. Who are we going to meet? Jesus, the Lord in the air, absolutely. Then the last one. The trumpets were used to sound an alarm for the coming conflict. It declared battle. It was blown as the attack signal, saying, go get them, boys. I like those old westerns where the cavalry comes riding over the mountain and you hear them blowing, you know, attack. That's kind of what happens here. When we leave this world, do you know what happens next? When we leave this world, beloved, Jesus Christ is going to take that little book in Revelation chapter 5, that sealed book. And when that first seal is opened, I mean no disrespect by this, but literally all hell is going to break loose upon this earth. The wrath of God is going to be poured out. So everything about the trumpets points to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Let's talk about the message of trumpets. The message. Well, first of all, the Feast of Trumpets is called Rosh Hashanah today. All right? And it means the head of the year. Now, God said the Passover was supposed to be the head of the year, but quite honestly, Jewish rabbis have changed that over time. And now they observe this date as the first of Tishri as the head or the beginning of their new year, because they believe that this was the day that Adam and Eve were created. This was the day, they also believed, that Noah opened up the cover of the ark and saw the post-flood earth for the first time. So for the Jew, it's a day of new beginning. Now I want you to think for just a moment what it is to the child of God. How many of you have troubles? Will you raise your hand? How many of you have cares and burdens? Absolutely, we all do. Amen. But I want you to think about the day when that burden doesn't mean anything anymore. I've come to the point in life where I just about am of the mindset, if it doesn't matter 50 years from now, it doesn't matter. And you know what's going to matter for me 50 years from now? It's what I've done for the Lord at this point. Yeah. So, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, a new beginning. That's what happens when we meet Jesus in the air. Second thing, the message of the trumpets. Yom Teruah, the day of the awakening blast. All right? Jews believe that the resurrection of the dead will occur on the Feast of the Trumpets. And I'm talking about your Orthodox type Jew. I'm Okay? They believe that the resurrection of the dead will occur on the Feast of Trumpets. And the reason they believe that is taken from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. It says, "Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, and you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." The Jew believes that that's when this is going to happen, is at the Feast of Trumpets. Now, as the child of God, does that make sense to you? Absolutely, it does. What's going to happen at the sound of the trumpet? Are the dead in Christ not going to rise first? The grave going to give up their dead? Amen? And then what's going to happen to you if you're a child of God? You're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I look forward to that day. You know, that's why I guess this is, to me, the most exciting message. Because it reminds me of what lies ahead. Then we go on to the last trump. Now here's where it gets good for me. Okay? Tikkah Gadol. Tikkah Gadol is what it's called. The last trump. Now we've the last trump in the Feast of the Trumpets is a phrase that's commonly known among Jewish people. You see, the shofar of the trumpet is blown in a series of 100 times during the Feast of Trumpets. There are four categories of these trumpet blasts. First category is known as the tikkah, and it's a smooth, continuous note. I should have brought a shofar so I could show you. Not really. I'd run you out, right? But it's one smooth, continuous note that represents joy, contentment. What's the first thing that you're going to experience when you enter into the presence of Jesus Christ? Is it not joy and contentment as His child? Well, I want you to imagine with me, when you lay eyes on Jesus Christ for the first time. I was thinking of a song that was sung this morning. What a beautiful name it is. Can you imagine? Worshiping at the feet of Jesus for the very first time. The first category, the tikkah blast. Second category, the shivareen. It's three short blasts, and it's a symbol of weeping and alarm. The third, the tura or terua. The third category, nine extremely short blasts. It means trepidation and sorrow, and you can see the tension building. And then finally, the Tikkah Gadol, which literally means, translates, the last trump. Okay? Here's where it gets good. Are you with me? Say amen if you're with me. All right. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 51. He said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Listen, my friends, when Paul said at the last trump to Gentiles like you and I and the culture that we live in, that phrase "last trump" does not mean anything, but to a Jew that knew the Feast of the Trumpets and the traditions that had been passed down from their forefathers, everyone would have known. Last trump. That's the last one of the Feast of Trumpets. You see, Paul, being a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Jew of the Jew, he knew what he was saying. He didn't just pull out a phrase from out of the middle of the air. He said, at the last trump, the dead will be raised, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's talking about the last trumpet, the Feast of the Trumpets, the last trumpet of that feast. Isn't that cool? I believe. Are you ready? I'll try not to go out on the limb too far here. I believe that the rapture will likely occur on the Feast of Trumpets. Okay? I believe there is a really good possibility. Now, I have not set a date and a time for the rapture. If you heard that, say amen. Because I don't want you coming the day after the Feast of the Trumpets saying, "Brother Doug, are you still here? I told you that preacher was nuts." No. I think at very least, bare minimum, this feast represents the second coming of Jesus Christ to rapture His bride and take us home. All right? And the reason that I think so is when you go back and you check the feast. All right? On the 10th day of Nisan, 4 days before Passover, you remember what Jesus was doing? And this is a few messages ago, and I'm just going to review just a little bit. But on the 10th day of Nisan, 4 days before Passover, do you remember what people did? They selected their Passover lamb. Remember? 4 days before Nisan, or 4 days before Passover, do you remember what Jesus did? Let me remind you. He rode into Jerusalem in His triumphal entry as people cried out, "Hosanna," or "God save us. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." He was selected as the Lamb of God. Then, as they were supposed to keep that lamb for 4 days, Jesus was in the city of Jerusalem 4 days, being examined by the scribes, the Pharisees, and every religious zealot of that day. And they could not find error within Him, not one. So they began to recruit false witnesses against Him. And then on Passover, Nisan 14, on Passover, that's the day that the blood of the Lamb of God was slain, was spilled for the sin of the world. The same day that the lambs in the Passover celebration were to be sacrificed, our Savior was sacrificed. The day, and Jesus, of course, placed in that grave. The day after Passover, Jesus in that grave, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread is celebrated. Nisan the 15th, known as the Bread of Sorrow. I'm reminded how Jesus in that tomb still was sinless. But I'm reminded of the sorrow that His disciples must have felt as their world had in their mind ended, losing their Savior. But Jesus was still the Bread of Life. And then on the 17th, on the Feast of First Fruits, 3 days after Passover, as the Jews were waving the first of the barley harvest before the Lord, what was Jesus doing? Jesus was coming out of that grave as the first fruits of all those who would believe throughout the ages to come. You know how God orchestrated these feasts? He orchestrated them for a reason, and every one of them pointed to Jesus Christ. Now we come to the Feast of Trumpets. Beloved, we're near. I believe with all my heart, we are near the fall of the year. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Now, when you see, get this, when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your hands, your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. You go back to the first verse that I just read, and it talks about the signs, right? "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and the stars." You remember the book of Genesis, how God created the sun, moon, and the stars. You remember what He said about them? He said, "They're for signs. They're for signs." Now, I'm not an astrologer. OK? Okay? And I don't pretend to be. But I can tell you, you can go on the internet, anybody can, and you can look up the Lady of Revelation chapter 12. And supposedly September 23rd of this year, for the first time in 7,000, 6,000 years, this has ever happened, that certain stars are aligning that fits with the Lady of Revelation chapter 12. All right? I'm not an astrologist. I'm not going to pretend to try to explain it to you. As a matter of fact, it's over my head. I'll let you establish your own opinion. But here's what I do know. I do know that sure does sound like a big coincidence, you know? Then we look back to the first verse. The distress, signs in the sun and the moon and in stars and on the earth, distress of nations. Do you ever listen to the news? At our world condition, what's the deal with North Korea? Any sane person would back up and say, does that guy not understand? We can wipe him off the map. But it's like, he don't get it. And so now you've got the United States and North Korea and South Korea's up in arms and Japan's up in arms and it's going all over the nation. And you know what? The situation in the Middle East is not getting any better. It's getting worse and worse and worse. We see the terrorists all over who have no value for human life nor any morality. It's not this world in distress by what's going on around us. With perplexity and the sea and the waves roaring. Wait a minute. 2 weeks ago, Houston, Texas, 50 inches of rain from Hurricane Harvey. I have never in my life heard of 50 inches of rain anywhere. Maybe it's happened, maybe not. Okay? But you saw the destruction there. 2 weeks later, there's another one about to hit Florida. What's the name? Irma? It's going to hit again. Massive exodus out of Florida. Have you seen pictures of the interstate? People are getting out. I don't blame them. I get out too. And now they tell me that there's another one behind that. What in the world is going on? Beloved, I believe we're at the point of the beginning of sorrows of Matthew 24. I believe we're seeing the signs in the sun, moon, and the stars. I believe the day of the Lord is at hand. As I said, I'm not setting dates. I'm really not. So don't come to me the day after the Feast of the Trumpets. But I know this. We've never been this close before. And that's why I want to leave you with this last thought. And that is the days of awe. Now, in the days of awe, the Feast of the Trumpet, there are 2 days set aside for the Feast of Trumpets. Because remember, you know, they don't know exactly when it's going to start. 10 days later, the Day of Atonement begins. This period in between the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Trumpets is the most solemn and holy days of the entire Jewish year. This is the time that everyone is supposed to search their heart to make sure they're right with God. Test their hearts. Make sure they're right with God. It's a call to repentance or face God's judgment. I mean, they are serious about these 10 days. And that's why they call them the days of awe. These days of awe are a period that represent the 7-year tribulation period. Okay? You say, Brother Doug, how is it 10 days? Well, it's like this. You've got 2 days at the beginning that are allotted to the Feast of Trumpets. So you take the first and the second day out. The tenth day, is the Day of Atonement. All right? So you start counting on the third. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 7 days, representative of 7 years. When that trumpet is sounded, and the saved are raptured off this earth, you don't want to be left behind. Okay? It is going to be serious in a hurry. When that seal is broken on that first... I mean, you go through the tribulation period, okay? And you read where men desire death. And they can't die. They're in such torment, such pain, that they can't die. That men hide in caves and cry out for the rocks to fall upon us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Beloved, it's not a fairy tale. It's very, very real. I'll share with you one last thought. Feast of Trumpets. 2017, September 20th through the 22nd. I did not say that's the day the Lord's coming back. All right? But I am saying it could be. I am saying it's possible. My question for you is, that's 10 days away. If you knew today that you had 10 days left, what would you do with this life? What would you do with the 10 days that you had left? As we come to the invitation, I lay that before you. If there's anybody that you've been saying, one of these days, I'm going to go talk to them about Jesus. I'm going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with. You better do it. You better do it. If there's a commitment that you need to make, you better do it. If you need to be saved, you better do it. Because I will tell you, and I'll stand here and I'll confess, you know, we may be here on the 23rd and you look around and say, I knew that preacher was wrong. No, I'm not wrong. I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but I'm saying it could. All right? And the reality is this, as God's children, are we not supposed to be living like today is our last day on earth? Is that not the way we're supposed to be living? Absolutely. And I will guarantee you this, one of these days, Jesus Christ is coming back. Okay? Are you ready? Jesus Christ gave His life so that you could have eternal life. Have you received the salvation that He offers to everyone who will call upon Him as Savior? If you're saved, have you followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? If not, why not? Oh, Brother Doug, I'm going to get to that one of these days. What if you run out of days? You just might. Maybe there's another commitment. Lord's calling you to ministry. He's calling you to work. He's calling you to action. Listen, time is short. I don't know that we've got 10 days left, but I don't know that we don't. I don't know that we don't have 2 days left, to be honest. Okay? Take care of business with Jesus Christ today. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. And we thank You for the promise of Your Word. And Lord, we look forward to Your coming. Even so, Lord Jesus, come soon. Come. We look forward to that day when we meet You in the air and our faith becomes reality. Lord, I pray that in this service that You will put a sense of urgency in our hearts. That, Lord, time is growing near. Whether it's 10 days or whether it's 10 years, Lord, that's not long. But I know that while we're here, we should be people with purpose. And our purpose be to carry out the Great Commission. Father, I pray that this morning we will respond to Your leading. That the lost will be saved. That the saved will be drawn to You. That we'll stir up that fire that is within us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.